Good morning, church. Don, hey Don, you and Charles, are y'all gonna wrap up here in a minute? You just give you a second, okay? Don't you like being called out by the preacher, man? How's everybody this morning? Good to have you all. You know, got a little app that I read that just kind of struck me. The verse of today in this little app, you are you. Everybody take your finger, point. You. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. We are to shine brightly. If in this world, that's not hard, because the darkness is out there. So we are called, Jesus is the light and he lives in us, and so we are the light. Yes? All right, let's invite his Holy Spirit as we worship this morning. Thank you, Father, that you sent Jesus, who is the light. Thank you that you, through your Spirit, you live in us. You have called us to go and shine that light to a hurting world. Lord, would you come with your Holy Spirit in this place? Would you be high and lifted up? We pray for those right here in this room, and we pray for those who are worshiping at their home through live stream. God, you are the God of the universe, who flings the stars in the skies, and so we worship you. We exalt your holy name, and it's in the powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. If you'll rise if you're able as we worship.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the same the Lord.
Trust in Jesus.
Oh, how sweet to trust.
church. All right? Saw some people try to dance over here. All right? It's okay. It's okay. The Lord is the Lord of joy. And we can smile in church and we can celebrate because we are loved by a great God. We're loved by a great God. You see, as Jeff said 1 or 2 weeks ago, I don't remember, but Christianity is not about us being good. It's about the good God that we serve. So this morning, I'm just going to invite you to pray that God, by His grace, He's chasing down every one of our hearts. I want you to pray that He would have, that you would allow Him to do His will for you, okay? I'm going to say it again better because I need to improve as well, right? The will of God goes before every one of us, and He's got a purpose for you this morning. And you see, you have access to the Spirit of God and the will of God and the power of God this morning by His Holy Spirit. All right, so I'm going to invite you, and I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to say, God, what do you want to do in my life? And I pray that every one of us leave this place more like Jesus, that we invite the Holy Spirit to change us, and that we allow His presence to work in our lives, that we may leave this place more like Him. So I invite you to ask God to do what He would in your life this morning by the power of His Holy Spirit. good. Let's give Jesus Christ a round of applause this morning. The High King forever. All right. So children, this week we're going to actually dismiss you out this way. And then everybody else, you may be seated.
Lots of kids. Anybody else? Well, good to see you this morning. Good to have you worshiping with us online. I want to remind you to go ahead and check into this service through our app. I know you get tired of me saying that every week, but it's helpful. So if you can do that, that would be awesome. Couple of things coming up just briefly. Our men's breakfast is this coming Saturday morning at 7:30 at Wiley Baptist Church. Great time of fellowship there, men, so consider joining us there. Also, not this week, but next week is the Operation Christmas Child Collection Week. And so continue to pack your shoe boxes. There's some by each entrance, by the exits. And there will be a drop-off schedule that'll go out by email this week. Actually, there's already one on the app. So let's go ahead and get those things packed. And if you can also pack online, if you'd like to do that, there's information in our app about that as well. So today is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church or Persecuted Christians, and that's going to be our prayer focus this morning. So we have people all over the world praying for people who are struggling in their faith. It's costing them something to declare Jesus Christ as Lord. So we're going to start off with a video. It's an actual story of a young man who was persecuted by his family, and then Joe Bings is going to pray for us after that. So, Lee, go ahead.
I never chose to become a Buddhist monk. My parents chose it for me. They sent me far away to a monastery. And my father left me there. For the next 9 years, I was trained to be a monk. 8 hours a day, 7 days a week. All I did was memorize and recite. Memorize and recite. The words of the Buddhist text spoke of peace and tranquility. But my teachers lived something very different. I was 13 when I finally ran away from the monastery.
You left the monastery, what? Shame!
My father said I had shamed the family because I didn't finish my training. He enrolled me in first grade. He would begin my education all over again.
Okay, so today we have a new student joining us. So everyone say hello to Sejun.
Hi.
Yo?
Na.
Yo?
Ooh.
And you take your name?
One of my teachers talked to me with respect, showed me a kindness I never experienced in monastery.
You can read this for me. The first John. Okay, great.
God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only.
What is this? Huh? You're not supposed to read these types of books in the house!
Where are you going?
I don't know. I can't go home.
Family. And David and his wife have given me a place to stay. I'm reading more from the book David gave me. I have read about the light. It is the light I want.
As we think about persecution, I know that, well, I doubt that any of us have ever faced anything like what he faced. I doubt any of us have ever faced our house being burned down, a family member murdered, having to attend a church where there's only one Bible or not a Bible at all. Our persecution is more like being made fun of because we didn't attend a party, or being told that we are too strict as parents because we don't let our children watch certain things on TV. Our persecution is so much less. And so when we read the scripture, Hebrews 13:3, remember those who are in prison as if you were in prison with them. Remember those who are suffering as if you were suffering with them. Do we really feel their burdens? Do we really understand what many in other places of the world go through? Do we pray for them constantly? I know I don't. But on this special Sunday, let's make sure that we focus on these persecuted Christians and what they go through to share Christ to others and just to be a Christian at all. I have the Voice of the Martyrs magazines. I get it once a month. And I'm going to leave some on the welcome desk. You're welcome to take one and read it to try to understand what others go through. Would you pray with me, please? Father, forgive us for not wanting to burden ourselves to feel their pain, not wanting to understand what the world goes through, not feeling so very thankful that we don't have to go through anything like that. God, forgive us. Forgive us for not suffering with our brothers and sisters who suffer so greatly. God, I pray that especially on this Sunday that they would feel you in a very close way today, that they would know that there are brothers and sisters in the U.S. that are praying for them, lifting them up to the Lord. God, I pray that you would give them the strength that they need to call you Savior, to call you Lord, to share your name with others. God, may we have even a small percentage of what they have. And Father, I think because of the suffering that they endure, they have blessing, they have joy, they have contentment that we don't have. As we look at our third world problems, God, that our first world problems that we experience, which are nothing compared to what they experience. God, let us be so very thankful for America, so very thankful for what it was founded on, and pray diligently that these biblical truths that we were founded on can come back once again to us as citizens of America. Father, be with the persecuted today. Give them strength. Help them to feel your love in a very close way today. Amen.
Thank you, Joe. Let's recite the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I want to remind you, we'll have several people up front after the service. If you need prayer for anything, please take advantage of that. Also, our giving opportunities are on the screen. You can also give through the offering boxes by the doors. God bless you, church. My cup's overflowing.
goes before me. Defender behind me.
The word is atonement. Atonement. What atonement means is the utter destruction of all sin by who Jesus Christ is. And so my sin is heavy in my life. And I know for some of you here, it may be the case that your sin is weighing you down. But what Jesus Christ has done on the cross is he has separated your sin from you as far as the east is from the west. He's destroyed it so that the impact of sin no longer has rule over your life. But when you invite Christ in as Lord and Savior of your life, then he takes that sin and he makes it as if it were no more. But that price is paid by the blood on the cross. Some of you this morning, you're clinging to your sin. You're clinging to your own shame. Look, I'm a sinner. I can't be here except by the grace of God. And the Lord's not done with me yet. I got work to do. But some of you, maybe your sin is just holding you stuck into place. This morning, I think that there's deliverance when you accept the Holy Spirit of Christ into your life, that you can know the peace and the forgiveness of God, that you can experience the atonement of your sin, that Jesus Christ has removed it from you by his grace. He loves his church. Could it really be this easy that you love me like you say you do? Well, I got years and years of striving. There was nothing left. Your kindness changes everything. It's like your grace is on a mission to tear down my religion. Cause you're all I really need. Hallelujah. All this time I love me. Hallelujah. of the Father.
Hallelujah. And it blows my mind how you love me. Oh, how you love me. Hallelujah. All this time, how you love me. Oh, how you love me. Hallelujah. Blows my mind. How you love me. How you love me. Oh, how you love me.
Oh, how you love me.
So is the Holy Spirit present and welcome here? Is he welcome here? You feel him this morning? Amen. Amen. If you are our guest this morning, I hope you feel that Holy Spirit, but I also hope that you feel that the love of God's people in this place. We like you being here. If you are our guest, I hope you will come back. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you says guest registration with a blue stripe, and would love for you to fill that out, and I'd like to meet you at the end of the service, have a free gift for our guests. I'll be down at this end of the foyer. Would love to meet you. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Apostle Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, his protege. Paul's coming to the end of his life, and he's giving Timothy some words of wisdom to go forth into the future with. 2 Timothy 4, beginning in verse 3. For the time will come, he says, when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Man, almost like Paul knew what was coming, huh? Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are indeed welcome here. We need you to speak. Nobody wants to hear from me. We want to hear from you. So, Holy Spirit, would you speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name? Amen. So, continuing the sermon series, and Billy did a great job last week of keeping this series going. Dear God, this sermon series, Dear God, today's message is, how do I know what is true? So, I promise I'm not going to put bunny ears behind you, but close your eyes for just a few seconds. Now, while your eyes are closed, everybody close your eyes. Point north. Don't open your eyes. Point north. All right, now open your eyes. A few of y'all I do not want to travel with. I'm just saying. North is kind of that. It's not straight out our back. It's kind of wonky-jawed. Did you know that's in the Bible, wonky-jawed? Did you know that's there? And the only way to really know, no matter, you know, we had various opinions in the room, the only way to know what north is if we had a compass that would point us and would not fail, would point us in the direction north. Jesus said in John 8, he said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And so, three things that short little sentence tells me. Number one is, there is something known as the truth. You will know the truth. So if there's something known as the truth, it also says that truth sets us free. But also, if there's truth, there's something else that's not true. What if truth sets us free, what does non-truth do? It puts us in bondage. We are bound up to the things that are not true. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. So we're gonna spend a little time talking about that truth this morning. How do we know what is true? First point, we know what is true because Jesus always speaks truth. He always speaks truth. If you get in the Word and you read things that Jesus said, He's speaking truth. So 78, if you look in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you look in the four Gospels, it's recorded 78 times that Jesus started a sentence by saying, I tell you the truth. And I'm pretty sure, I'll have to verify this when I get back to my concordance, I'm pretty sure he never said, I'll tell you a lie. And Jesus never said, I'm going to tell you something that's not true. He never said that. But 78 times it's recorded, he said, I'll tell you the truth. Here's six examples of that. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me, speaking to Judas. I tell you the truth, whenever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done for me will also be told in her memory, speaking of the woman who anointed him with oil. I tell you the truth, he said, tonight to Peter, before the rooster crows, twice you will disown me, three times. And then he said, I'll tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise, to one of the thieves on the cross. And then he said, I'll tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. On and on and on again, Jesus proclaimed the truth. When Jesus speaks, he's speaking truth. Secondly, we know what is true because Jesus always speaks truth and Satan never speaks truth. And I was telling the early service that I know it's not, some of you English teachers, I know it's not grammatically correct, but I can't bring myself to capitalize Satan. I just can't. It's going to, when I type his name out, it's going to be in lowercase. That's the respect that I have for him, the lack of respect I have for him. Satan never speaks truth. Jesus said it this way. He's speaking to the Pharisees. You belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to, here it is, the truth. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And so Jesus is referring back even to the garden. God says, you got the run of the place, just don't do this one thing. Just don't eat of this tree. Well, and he said, if you do, he's speaking truth to them. If you do, you will surely die. You will be cut off from me. And what does Satan do? He comes in and he goes, you'll not surely die. I didn't say that. It's not going to happen. He was a liar from the very beginning. Now, here's the thing. When, you know, Hollywood portrays Satan in these movies and stuff, you know, it's like, woo, and all these horror movies and everything. And I do believe in spiritual matters such as that. But here's I believe, the primary and consistent way Satan works in our lives. Right up here. He puts thoughts in our minds that are lies. First of all, he tells us we're worthless, that nobody cares about us. He tells us that what we are doing is really not that bad. You ever had those thoughts? It's not that bad. I was telling early service that how many times have we read in the paper where someone has stole money from a company or something, and I was going to put it back. I was going to return it. He puts these lies in our minds like, that's not that big a deal. It's not that big a deal to go to look at that on the internet. It's not that big a deal to think that about that other person that's not your spouse. He puts those thoughts in our mind. He's slick. He's slick. The word that comes to my mind is he seduces us with sin. And he'll say things in our brain. He'll put thoughts in our mind. That's not that big a deal. Nobody will find out. And when we have those thoughts, and then if we act on the sin, what does he do? What's the first thing he does? He shames us. Just do that. As soon as we do it, you are a low life person. Nobody could love you. Satan never speaks truth. If you're having thoughts like that, they are not from the Father. Thirdly, we know what is true because God's word is the truth proclaimed. God's word is the truth proclaimed. If you are having those thoughts, any thoughts that we have, if it contradicts this, it's sin. It's not from God. Anything you have that contradicts this. Well, so the first thing that tells me is we must know what this says. Hello, is anybody out there? Are you with me? Larry's with me. Anybody else hearing this? If it contradicts this, it's sin. And we don't know it unless we read it. I love Peter. Peter, man, what a knucklehead. And that's why I love Peter, because he was a knucklehead. But so you know Peter's story. You know what he'd been through. And in 2 Peter, he writes this. He says, we did not invent cleverly invented stories. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He's saying, we're not making stuff up. We saw him do these things. We saw him bring dead people back to life. We saw him walking across the water. That doesn't happen every day, church. We saw him heal the lame. We saw him heal the blind. We saw him hanging on a cross and taken down, lifeless. We saw him cooking breakfast and 3 days later for us. We did not follow cleverly invented stories. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And we have the word of the prophets made certain. And he's talking about the Old Testament. That was the Bible of Peter's day. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. And there are some very well-known pastors of very well-known that are in mega churches and have TV programs and all that kind of stuff that will say, you know, You got to take this with a grain of salt. Because it really, men wrote this. Well, let's see what Peter has to say about it. Prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but God, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. He's saying, this may a man may have penned it, but God inspired it. He told him what to write. Shouldn't we want to know what God has to say? Chapter 2, that same 2 Peter. There will be false teachers among you. Hello. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them. And y'all have heard me say this, but I had a Christian professor tell me, I'm not sure the crucifixion even happened in a Christian university. I'm not sure the crucifixion happened. I think it might have been just a parable. And then a couple of months later, I was in another situation with this same pastor, and I had shared to a group of people and was sharing the gospel. And he came up to me afterwards and he said, you know, Jeff, we're really not that far apart. And I said, oh yeah, we are. No, we really are. There will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. That's another reason why it's so important to know the Word. If something comes out of this pulpit that doesn't jive with this, you have not only my blessing, but my encouragement to call me out on it. Timothy got this from Paul. The Holy Scriptures, Paul says to him, are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed, God-inspired, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Church, this is a precious gift to us. Now, I want to say this. The Bible didn't die for us. Hello. Okay? It's God's Word. But we don't... We don't worship. I hope that's making sense. We don't worship the Bible. We worship God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's who we worship. But this reveals Him to us. It proclaims Him. I want to show a video here in just a second. But Richard Arthur, I think Richard's keeping us safe today. But Richard came to me. He's a Gideon. Came to me a few weeks ago, and there was a missionary from Africa. It's amazing that we're praying for the persecuted church today. But they lived in these villages. Terrorists had gone and burned down churches and homes and everything. And this whole area, there was one Bible for hundreds of people. Hundreds, if not thousands of people. There was one Bible, and they passed it around. And this missionary had gotten the word out here in Abilene. It's like, I'd like to take back 400 Bibles, and it was in some language I'd never even heard of. And Richard came to me, and by y'all's generous gifts, through our budget, we were able to buy 100 of those 400 Bibles. And within a week, all 400 plus were purchased. And he went back, and I had a video of him thanking us. And he said, we were able to give a Bible to every family in this area. Yeah, this is precious. I want you to watch this video, this little girl, what she receives from her grandmother. Go ahead, Lee.
What do you say?
That's thank for you. You, just so you could buy yourself a little something
thank
with.
You.
Hold on. Oh. But I also have something, and there's a reason why I wanted to give you guys the $5. But there's something I have that's special for you. Now, each of you are very special, but there was something extra special that I heard that you wanted. And so what I heard was something that you really liked. And so I heard that you really loved this book and that this blessed you. And so I bought you your very own so you don't have to turn it in. Never, never, never. This belongs to you.
Thank you, Grandma.
Look, my love. Look,
baby. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. And I pray that the words in this Bible blesses your soul. And this says, presented to Bela Aguilar by Grandma Debbie on this date, February 6, 2019. I love you, babe. And you don't ever have to ever turn this in. This is your Bible. Okay? That's for you, my babe. Oh, you're welcome, because your mama told me how much you love to read. So now you have your own Bible. You don't ever have to turn that one in. Okay? Oh, you're welcome, my love. You're welcome. And thank your mama, because your mama's the one who told me that you love that Bible.
Thank you.
If your eyeballs aren't leaking, your heart's not connected to your eyeballs. Man, what if we treasured this like that little girl? God's word is the truth proclaimed. Fourth, we know what is true because the Holy Spirit reveals truth. One of the things that that I encourage you to do as you're getting into the Word. And by the way, just if you're not, there's no shame if you're not used to reading the Bible. Let me give you this advice. Don't open it up to page one and start reading it like a book. That's not the way to start. I would start in the New Testament, in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the second half of the Bible, New Testament. I would start there, and as you read, I would encourage you to pray for the Holy Spirit to inspire what you are fixing to read and apply it to your heart. I had a professor, one of my good professors in seminary, that said he felt like this word was twice inspired, when we wrote it and when we read it. Not when we wrote it, but when it was written and when we read it. And so pray that the Holy Spirit would open up the Word and apply it to your heart as you read His Word. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit is a Spirit of truth. There it is again. When He comes, Jesus said, He will guide you into all truth. So we need the Holy Spirit of truth and the Word of truth to guide us into truth. And then finally, the fifth point, we know what is true because Jesus is the truth. He's not a truth. He is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, and I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we have to, church, we've got to understand. I believe this is more critical. I've preached this message a few years ago or something similar. And I believe in these times we find ourselves in, truth is more and more important. We are influenced by the world, and Satan is of the world. We live in a world with two competing worldviews, and the thing is, these two competing worldviews each want our heart and our mind. Satan, the father of lies, His worldview leads to death. I see it all the time in ministry. Sometimes we are, the issues that we have in life are just life, you know, the accidents or health or, you know, things like that. Those things happen. But a lot of the knots we tie ourselves into in our lives are self-imposed because we're listening to the lies of the enemy. We've embraced that worldview. Proverbs 14 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Jesus himself said, there's no truth in the devil. There's no truth. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. If you are having thoughts that are behavior that's not consistent with God's word, you know that you're listening to the father of lies. And yet the other worldview is Jesus, the truth. And that worldview leads to life. It leads to life. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his purpose in life, is to destroy us. He does it through deception. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus said, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. You know, as we come to this meal today, and just imagine when Jesus is serving this to the disciples that first night, he had to be thinking about that death had overcome us as the human race. Death had overcome us through sin. And Jesus knew that the next day he was going to hang on a cross so that we could have life. And you know, you had to know as he was breaking the bread, and he's got to be thinking about the cross. And he had to be thinking, this is my body. He said, this is my body broken for you. But he had to be thinking, you're worth it. We are worth it. The sacrifice he was preparing to pay, that we're worth it, because he wants us to have life. And then he took the cup and he blessed it and he said, this cup is the cup of my blood, of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many. And so, again, he had to be thinking about his broken body and his spilt blood that was coming. And Jesus, so many times we put a lot of rules and stuff around things, but Jesus, he simply said, partake of this meal. I want you to partake of this meal and remember me. Do it in remembrance of me. And Jesus didn't hang on a cross for the good ones because, well, first of all, there aren't any good ones. He hung on the cross for us, the worst, while we were yet sinners, it says. Christ died for us. He didn't say, well, go clean yourself up, come back and see me, and we'll talk about it. No, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is his body and blood, symbolic of that, poured out for us, broken for us. If you would pray with me. Father, thank you for this meal. Thank you for the truth that you have come to give us life. We thank you that you love us. I pray now that you'll make this bread and this cup be the body and blood of Jesus for us. We are redeemed by this meal. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are welcome to this meal. If you repent of your sin and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you do not have to be a member of our church. If those who are serving will come forward. Christ our Lord has invited you to his table. Again, if you repent of your sins and you have accepted him as Lord and Savior, you're welcome. These two stations over here and these two stations over here, you'll be given a piece of bread. You dip it into the cup and partake in that manner. If you want the individual elements, you can come to the center. Go ahead and receive those and return to your seat to partake there, and you can discard those when you leave. The invitation is from Christ. Come.
Your blood.
said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Church, that's good news. Go and share it. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.